Blog Talk Radio.
I'm grateful to be able to push a few buttons and start a conversation with two other gentlemen, myself and Mark Elliott, Mr. DeMaurice and Mr. Charles. And it got me thinking this morning, realistically, before we kind of started to put this together, our conversations we have over the years, past few weeks, and it just kind of sometimes blow my mind. Then it's got me to really start to think about conversations that other people might be having. And things about conversations, man, they should inspire, encourage, broaden your thinking, open your mind. And I'm wondering, as people, you know, I'm going to put this question out to you as a person. Are you having these type of conversations with your folk? Or are you having conversations with people basically being a co-signer and being a cheerleader to you? Because to me, we all need people in our corners that we can go to. Maybe when we're not thinking about something properly, we may not be seeing something whole, that we can have these conversations with and not be afraid to open up and be vulnerable and speak. And do we have that? And I'm not talking about what we call our boys and our girls, because to me, those are cheerleaders. You know, anybody can sign up for a fan club and do that, and that kind of makes you feel good. But are you having a conversation with someone, or you have someone in your life that you can from time to time have a conversation with, and you walk away feeling, wow, there's something different. Something moves inside of you. Something moves inside your brain. You learn, you expose yourself to something different than what you might have been thinking. You walk away, or you came away from that conversation and enlighten you to something. Those are the conversations we should be having as adults and inspiring our kids to have. And those are the conversations we do right here when Black Men Talk. I want to thank you for always giving us an ear. I said before, you know, you appreciate what we do and share it with your friends, your family. Let them know there's three cats, one in Connecticut, one in Chicago, Illinois, one in Columbus, Ohio, that do not run away from conversations no matter what the topic may be. And our topic this episode is going to be about femininity. And I was putting this together, said to myself, what can three cats talk about? Bring the femininity. We're going to bring something to it, that's for sure. I think there's been time on the show we might have talked about it in a small section, but we're going to devote this whole episode to such. And it's a word, honestly, you don't hear much anymore. Realistically, you don't hear much about femininity. Sometimes I think we take for granted that it's just there. And for my eyes and for what I understand femininity to be, I don't see it as such. I just don't. And I go back to when I was younger. Something about femininity just always stood. You knew it when you saw it. Even if you couldn't describe it, you knew what you were looking at. You knew what it looked like, you knew what it felt like, and you knew how it made you feel as a man, as a young child, a man, young boy, and it was powerful. So I want to come to you, Mr. DeMaurice. You know, we're doing what we do, sir. It's the month of March. Sometimes this time of the year, bro, I know you're not in a good mood. I know why, but, you know, Keep hope alive, bro. You never know. Things might change for you, my brother. Things might change, bro. Oh, yeah, you fight to get this position. And we see the air come out of the balloon. That being said, my brother, welcome on in. And speaking of femininity today, man, it carries awesome power. But when we stop and think about it, because I'm pretty sure you and I have our same initial thoughts of femininity when we were young, as we kind of pass through our lives to come to the age that we are now. And it carries awesome power. But I'm kind of wondering, I ain't even got to wonder, because I know. Has it lost its value over the years, sir?
I think it has. I really think it has. Because I think that the role of femininity now has taking on characteristics of other things that don't have anything to do with femininity. And it could be, people can say it could be because the way society is right now. It could be because people have forgotten their roles or are playing other roles that take them out of being who they really are. And so, yeah, I think it's lost its value. And I'm also thinking that it really isn't really pushed much in our society now, and because a lot of sexism is really kind of put in, and I don't think you can really kind of put that in, and it's over sexualizing women. I don't think is part of femininity, to me, in my opinion.
You're dead on with that. You're absolutely dead center with that, because the sexualness of it takes away from it. It really kind of came in, overshadowed, and just basically eroded it to a degree where, realistically, femininity is not about, you know, the sex appeal. It's not. I'm not saying it's not far from it, but at the end of the day, femininity has nothing to do with all that. I mean, just because you're walking around and you're half-dressed and, you know, you're trying to accentuate certain parts of your body, that don't make you feminine. It doesn't. You know, it may make you attractive, it may make you alluring, it may, you know, get your attention. But if you believe that's where you live in the world of femininity, you're living wrong. Mr. Charles, I want to bring you in, sir. We're speaking on femininity today, and I said earlier, man, I don't think we ever dedicated a whole show episode to just speaking on this. I know a couple of weeks ago we talked about masculinity, and it's interesting how I really believe we forget how they're supposed to go together, how they're supposed to work together, intertwine, work together hand in hand, and when they do, it's what's meant to happen. Therefore, it forms our relationship. It strengthens our relationships. It keeps our relationships whole. And I think we have forgotten about that totally. You know, we talk about what we want in a relationship. This person ain't doing that, and this one ain't bringing to the table. But if we're playing our God-given roles that he meant for what man and woman to do and how a man and woman are supposed to work together and grow together, that's masculinity and that's femininity. So speaking of femininity, you know, has it lost its value, its true value over the years, sir?
I think so. For some, I think others are continue to understand what it is. And women and women that, of course, the ones that I consider women that are ladies as well, I think they understand it. And yes, but I think overall, it probably has, because we're open, more open, with more women being more independent and dealing with things themselves. So I think it has lost its value, and I also think it's lost its value in society, because society now is kind of like more of an open book. People get to decide what role they play, and we want to make sure that we're politically correct and everybody's included. And with that being said, that allows people to feel comfortable with who they are, and that's fine. You can feel comfortable and do what you want to do, but then there's still an understanding of, for some people, there's things like femininity and masculinity provide a balance between two individuals that understand who they are and where they're trying to achieve and what purposes they serve for one another. So, again, that might be considered old school, because now they're individuals, and you choose what you want to do, that see things a different way and feel that no matter what, even if they're same sex, they can provide the masculinity and the femininity that is needed in a relationship, so to reach their own.
You touched on something very interesting, where the femininity part, you know, not playing the part in the masculinity. And it almost seems time to come back to you with this, Mr. Charles. It almost seems to me that women are a little confused that, you know, femininity basically makes them look weak, vulnerable. And for that reason, they don't want to feel that. And they overemphasize other parts and try to take on other roles, and sometimes a masculine role, when they're not even comfortable doing it, but they're afraid of some of the traits if they're bringing that to the front, they're afraid to where that's going to be looked upon as being soft, vulnerable, and they might be afraid of being taken advantage of. And hearing you speak, that popped in my head. I want to get your thoughts about that.
No, I think that's spot on. I was able to come across a couple individuals. And one of the things that I think that for some women, the devils that kind of explained to me or shown to me is the factors that, of course, we would think naturally that most women want to have that connection with the femininity and with the male, with the masculinity. But after so many times or so many experiences, so many abuses, so many mistreatments that they have been through, or even just being alone, like a single mom, it's to a point where having went through all those things with different men, they feel like they have no choice because they're by themselves. They have to take care of themselves, and they cannot afford to be just lost, flying out in the wilderness waiting to become a victim. So even though they may feel that way inside, they develop a hard outside outside exterior, presenting a look that they will fight to the end, to the death, to be okay, so they're not taken advantage of. But deep down inside, they still yearn to really play the role that we think that they should in a natural ability with the man, but they simply cannot afford to because they can't trust anybody. And those individuals they think that they could trust or be connected with are few and far between. And lastly but not least, they still have to survive.
That's awesome stuff right there, man. I don't think anyone else could have said that better. And it's amazing how when one speaks and we allow ourselves to really hear what one is saying, different things will start to come to you. And I remember, it's going to sound like I'm going off the beaten path for a second, but it's not. I remember the Million Man March when Farrakhan basically had us to atone for all the things we did as men. And in thinking about that and listening to your response, you know, we owe women as men, we owe them a big apology. Even not for some of the things we did, but in men in general, because this listening is drawn, this is so dead on. Men in general have robbed women of femininity. We have. Maybe you weren't the one that took the item, but overall, we came in with our selfish ways, our selfish thoughts, our self-pleasing thoughts, and what we're trying to achieve. And we basically have robbed them of their true essence and nature. But at the same time, we desire that from them. We need that. And you put it right out there. The reason why a lot of times it's absent is for those reasons alone. Basically, have been things that happen early on to them in life. And now it's hard to walk and be into that because you're more in a protective, defensive mode. You're afraid to open up and be that. And that has to be real confusing and alarming in a sense because you can't be who you naturally need to be. You have to wake up and put a mask on and put shields around you and not to be who you were created to be and live in your femininity. And for that, man, we owe them a big apology. Started here with this show, we do, because they need to know that at least us three, we understand that. You know, we understand it through again, it comes through conversations. If we're not having this talk about it, we might be thinking it, but we're not putting it out there. So for us, you know, I'll speak for the three of us. I'm going to give a huge apology, because a lot of women have been basically mistreated and shown to where they should not be feminine. And you speak of the single parents, a lot of them have been left alone to be single parents. They didn't sign up for it. They didn't go down to City Hall and, you know, get a license to be a single mom. You know, they found themselves in that situation due to some ill-mannered, immature men that thought they were men, but actually acting out as boys, didn't know what to do and how to handle the femininity that was there. Sorry if I got a little long-winded before coming to you, Mr. DeMaurice, but I felt like that needed to be put out there. And I'm going to, of course, get your opinion on the fact that it seems like they're not wanting to step into that role of femininity, probably because a lot of things Mr. Charles said, and that vulnerability, that fear, And it's more like a survival to where if I'm there, can I really survive? Your reaction, sir?
I totally agree. Like I said up front, I think some women have been placed in that position where they had to take on masculine roles because of whether it was a poor choice, whether it was a messed up situation, or they've been deceived by males. Not, I don't call them men. I just call them males that did not know how. And there is no course. You just have to be around people who just know how to accept and bring out femininity in women and nurture that, because it has to be nurtured. Even masculinity has to be nurtured to a point where the person understands they can move forward and they can do some good things with it or use their powers for good. And I think it's the same with femininity. Men aren't really taught how to accept it, how to nurture it, how to help it benefit. What males do sometimes, and those who aren't grown into the maturity of men, they'll misuse it. They'll take advantage of it. Well, I can get this, that, the other, such and such and such. I have an advantage, or I got her doing, you know, so and so and so and so and so, and kind of exploiting that situation instead of realizing that, hey, this person is playing their role. I need to step up and play the role that nurtures that, and we can nurture each other and walk into that relationship and go into that journey fortifying each other. People don't think that way. They think, you know, I'm going to get what I can get because I've been in this situation before. I don't want to be taken advantage of, so I'm going to always get the upper hand in the situation. If you're in a relationship like that, I can tell you about 10 times out of 10, it's going to fail. It's going to fail because one person is going to wake up saying, you know, I'm doing all this and I'm not being, you know, helped out in any way. I don't know why I'm in this relationship. I don't know what I'm doing. So I think, you know, in some respects, women who tried that role of being more feminine have been taken advantage of males who took that and just ran with it and really burned the woman really bad, because maybe they don't know, or they think that, hey, I have the upper hand. I'm not going to get hurt again. So I'm going to take instead of give in relationships.
Yeah. We're going to do a show in the future coming up on scars. And a lot of times our mental scars, we believe, may not even exist, but there are a lot of mental scars that we're walking around with. And the show is going to be dedicated to that, to mental scars. A lot of times we think our scars are on our skin. There's a lot of scars in our mind. Also, we're going to do a show based on our shadows. We all are carrying shadows. What are we carrying in our shadows? And next week we're going to do a show that Ms. DeMaurice and I had a little conversation about a few weeks ago. You know, when someone says, I love the person, but I'm not in love with them, what are they really saying? What are they really meaning? What is behind that? But overall, we're always going to continue on the conversations here when black men talk. And as you hear these two gentlemen, they open up. They take it to a place where it needs to be and not afraid to basically say what needs to be said. When you put that together, when black men talk, and I love the conversations we continue to have. I'm going to put out some things about, say some things about femininity. And I think for men, consciously or subconsciously, here's what really attracts us to it, from either from a child to where we are now, to what resonates with us. Part of the attraction is gracefulness, gentleness, empathy, humility, and sensitivity. And if you look at some of these five and you realize as a man, part of your attraction to it, because it helps balance you. If you're a man that's not really sensitive and you come across a sensitive, caring heart woman, it's going to put you in that mold, no matter how much you try to fight it. you're going to be attracted to it because your sensitivity level may not really needs to be. So she's made to balance off of yours and put yours in line. I want to come to you two gentlemen. I wanted you two to take two out of the five. Pick one, pick at least pick two, and show the attraction to it. Again, I'll give you the list first, Ms. DeMaurice. Gracefulness, gentleness, empathy, humility, and sensitivity. Choose two and of those qualities and explain the attraction that you see to those.
I'm going to take the first two, gracefulness. When a woman walks into the room and how she carries herself, you know, she doesn't have to tell you that she's the woman, that she is, she's beautiful, that she is, she's in the essence, the fullness of woman. You can tell from a male perspective looking at her like, wow. And that's usually the word that comes out when you see a woman like that. You go, wow, look at how she carries herself, how she dresses, how she walks, how she smiles, how she greets people, how she engages people. You can just tell that. It's a gracefulness about it that I think is long lost because it's not about getting the attention by what you wear or how much makeup you have on, things of that sort. It's your mere presence that when you walk into the room, people know that this is a graceful woman. And when I look at the word gentleness, it's been nothing more beautiful to see a woman with a child and being loving and caring and making that child laugh and having their attention on it, the gentleness of another human being, a smaller human being, and bringing joy to that human being, bringing laughter, bringing a sense of nurturing and caring for that human being, especially newborn babies, is nothing to me more beautiful than seeing a woman in the gentleness of really kind of engaging with the child and being there for the child. And also as a man, her gentleness where, you know, we're in rough situations, you know, we're out there fighting, doing all this stuff, and her gentleness and, you know, just bringing you to her chest and just saying, I got you. It's okay. It's okay. You can be safe here. There's something to be said about that. I think that makes women really sexy where they could just bring you to their chest, bring you to their bosom and go, I got you. I know what you're going through. And I know you don't need that fight, or you don't need me fighting you and battling you. I know that here's where you can recharge. Here's where you belong. That gentleness is, you know, it's something you really can't define. But once you feel it as a male, you know that you got the right one.
Mr. Charles, stick to, sir. Gracefulness, gentleness, empathy, humility, and sensitivity. Because we get confused where we're thinking what she's wearing, where she's built, that is the primary attraction. No, that's the visual attraction. This stuff here is the primary attraction. We're going to the primary right here. Your response, sir.
Yeah, DeMaurice did one heck of a job on that. Especially, I love that grace. Oh, my God. That is, I think I first experienced that when I was in the second grade for one of my teachers. Oh, Lord Jesus. Ms. Thomas, God bless you. If you're still alive, beautiful, if not, rest in peace. Ms. Thomas, ooh, she had grace. But I'm going to jump around and do something different. I'm going to go with the gentleness, as DeMaurice mentioned as well, because of the fact that there's something to be said about what he mentioned in regards to we as men, from boys up, for most of us that have had experience with our fathers have been, and even other, some women that even say, tell you that you need to stand on straight, boy, blah, 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 kind of guide you along and kind of push along with what the message that your dad shared, that we've always been taught to be tough and have to understand that as protectors, even though we may be a little apprehensive and afraid ourselves, that we have to stand strong. And when that's ingrained in inside of you and you understand that from a mental capacity, then you're always on. You're always what we say spot on. It's like being a soldier. You always have to be ready for action. So we don't have time to be weak or soft or too gentle, because we have to be on point. And when DeMaurice mentioned that a woman who has that gentleness can at certain times allow you to put your head on her bosom or wherever she may be, she can just hold you and in a quiet space allow you to rest. Because she knows the rest of the time with the world, you got to be spot on. You got to be her protector. You got to be the guy that is always there for her and for the children, whoever may be involved. So we need to recharge, as he mentioned, like everybody else. But nobody sees that often. And we don't want that secret to get out that we need to be recharged. But like all batteries, man, they either die or they need to be recharged. And I think with the right woman, that's possible. The second one would, for me, would be sensitivity. And the reason why I say sensitivity is because, again, we are taught to be hardcore men and just whatever, but certain individuals have very, and we as men, this is a perfect example, I said before, we have very tough backgrounds. We come from craziness, all kind of very difficult situations. And when a woman is able to connect with a person that is just fighting everybody, it's like, you know, when you were a kid, you saw this mean, angry dog, and it's always trying to bite people. We all know that. Remember them dogs? Nobody, leave that dog alone. But somebody go to that dog, show it some care, and it's a whole totally different animal. But with these individuals, with these ladies who are able to go to these people that are maybe frustrated, may have all kind of crazy backgrounds, they're able to create a different side, or the true inner selves of individuals is able to bring those out. When most of us men go, such and such and such, they ain't work too. I'm not caring about them. Our hardcore exterior is still out there going, I really don't give a damn about them. That's their problem, not mine. But the women, again, as I said earlier, are able to bring that full circle and make a difference in people. Certain things that are just natural to men. So that sensitivity goes a long way, because most of us men are going like, I ain't doing that. Don't you got a daddy? Or don't you got an uncle? We're not doing that. We ain't taking on nobody else's responsibility. I got no problem of my own over here. You try to straighten this over here. And that's our attitude. But the women are able to deliver it, and they often do it with the sensitivity that they have.
It's interesting, because I look at empathy. I spoke of sensitivity earlier, but I'm looking at empathy in a sense, because it's amazing to me that women have this quality. They could look at something in a snapshot in a second and define it much more in detail than men do. And understand it. You could take a situation of something that's happening, kind of similar to what you just spoke of, Mr. Charles, and we'll rush and basically look at something and go, and she'll speak on it, and she'll bring empathy to it. And you're listening and going, damn, how did I miss that? And she's going to give you the backdrop, why it's there, why it could possibly be there, this and that. You're like, I didn't go far enough in my empathy. I didn't go far enough in my sensitivity. And when that happens, here again, that's that balance. That's that balance that we're supposed to receive, to garner. And here again, we're made differently to connect and intertwine and build. And as much as we're masculine, we need femininity in our lives. Not, we don't need to have it in us as men. I ain't afraid to say, a lot of men want to run around trying to put it, you can't do that, boss. You can't. You can never be a woman. It is what it is. You weren't born to be a woman. Same as a woman, you can run around try to wear the masculine role. You can't do it. Your natural order of things is to be feminine. Our natural order of things is to be masculine. And when we can be good at those individually, we can be good with each other. Mr. Charles, coming back to you. And because sometimes I think I spoke with earlier, I know I spoke with earlier about the softness, but this is, to me, the mistake that's made about femininity in general. One big mistake. It's been looked upon to be in that it may not be strong. It may not have strength. I believe that's dead wrong. Your reaction to it, sir, is there strength or femininity?
No doubt. I think because it's not, I think it's a play on words for a lot of people. When we think about strength, you think somebody strong that cannot be taken down, something that's more of a rock. But there's a way to use femininity, as a strength for women because of the fact that it breaks through all layers. So it doesn't matter. It's so genuine and so real that it breaks through all layers. Like we said before, the hardest of the heart has to bow down to it because it's something that is more of a, I think it's an internal connection that it forces you to really recognize, like, it's almost like trying to talk to a person that's really nice and they have great conversation and they support you and they give you compliments. And then you say, oh, bitch, get out of here. Get out of my face with that boy. Okay. But after a while, you're like, she reminds me of my mother, somebody that was really nice to me. I can't come to her because you feel guilty because you dumb as hell. All they doing is trying to be nice to you and work with you and really understand you. And that's power, man. You don't have to bring a gun or whatever or a weapon. Their weapon is the fact that they're able to understand and get you to a point where they realize that somebody cares. Even if for a few minutes, you can take that big coat off and put that gun down or whatever you're dealing with, your mental gun or your strength, put it down for a minute and just have a conversation with somebody that actually might care about you.
Yeah. I thought of something real quick before I come to you, Mr. Demon Reese. I know a lot of times we look at couples from the outside and go like, how is he with her? How is she with him? And sometimes, man, it's because they're getting these qualities from each other. And they've overlooked what the outside exterior may be because this person, therefore, is bringing these things, as some people would say, to the table. And the things that they're bringing, those things that you can't measure, that you can't see, but you can feel, they're delivering those things to each other. And at the end of the day, man, what is more beautiful than that? What is more beautiful, natural than that? Demon Reese, you know, we sometimes find that, you know, like Mr. Charles says, strength we think is, yeah, all that. But there's plenty, in my opinion, in my view, in my thoughts, there's so much strength in femininity. Your reaction, sir?
Oh, definitely. It's a lot of strength. Just when I gave you the definition of being graceful, and that graceful woman, just stepping into the room, knowing who she is, and, you know, not compromising that. I look at I didn't look at the award ceremonies. I don't look at award shows, but I look at Angela Bassett. You don't have to tell me that she's a strong woman. Her essence is strong. Her gracefulness, her gentleness, her, you know, how she kind of walks into a room. I don't know this woman personally, but you know, if she steps in the room and you're slouching, you're standing up straight. You're standing up straight because she's pulling that out of you. And I think one of the strengths of women that women have is that they can pull things out of you that you didn't know you had. I think about my mother who, you know, there were times I'm like, you know, I can't do this. You know, I don't feel like doing this. And she's pulling out, her strength was pulling out strength in you. And like, you can do this. This is what you're made for. This is what, you know, this is who you are. And so I don't know if women really, really use that in a way. I see a lot of women using it in a way to kind of be destructive towards men and hurting their ego. But I know of women who will really play to your ego and give you the things that you need to kind of stand up straight and go, hey, sweetheart, maybe you're right. You know, I'm going to try this. If you believe in me, then I have no choice to believe in me. So, yeah, there's a lot of strength in it, but I don't think society kind of recognizes the strength and femininity and what women, I mean, true women bring to the table of in their role as being feminine. I think it's downplayed that they're weak, they're subservient, they're submissive, things of that sort. And they look upon that as bad qualities of being a woman. And I don't look at it that way. I look at it as if she's in the right situation with a person who can appreciate that, her strengths will come out in her femininity, and the masculinity role that we're supposed to be playing would come out. It has no choice but to come out because it hits to the essence of both the male and the female to bring out the best in both of them.
Absolutely, man. I had a chance to meet Angela Bassett once. It's interesting you say that, and I agree, but I'm going to tell you, man, it's an interesting thing what I've noticed about her when I had a chance to be in her presence. She's a shy woman. You will look at her. I'm serious, bro. You look at her on camera and everything she does, and you would not think that, but shy. I mean, when I say shy, she's a shy woman. She can step out of it. But an essence of who she is, and even that itself is attractive, believe it or not. That right there was attractive. But she, at the end of the day, real, real shy woman. Wanting to get into the defined feminine energy, because I wanted to touch base on that some, because to me, that's powerful as well, the defined feminine energy. And that maintains, nurtures, maintains, and inspires. Now, we kind of touched base on some of these attributes already, but to me, that's where it really kind of lies, the nurturing. You know, and I know people now for days that I'm not nurturing, and it's like, you know, I don't want to nurture, I'm not, whatever the case may be, maintains and inspires. Man, those are some three strong ones there, Mr. Charles. So when we look at the defined feminine energy, nurtures, maintains, and inspires, would that happen to be true or false, sir?
No, I think that's very, very true and very key. You know, those words you mentioned kind of go together. So you think about it from that feminine energy when they first start to, let's say, nurture someone. And some people, like you said, particularly with us men, we can be so damn hardcore because we don't want to be soft. We want to be, I ain't saying we're trying to be gangster. We just need to be, like, tough because we don't want nobody to see nothing soft about us just in case I either have to present a facade or I have to really be a tough guy and I might have to do something. So when a woman nurtures you, it makes you feel like that feminine energy, it makes you feel that you're in a good space. It's almost like a mother coddling or holding a baby. When you get nurtured, it's like, oh, my God, this is such a beautiful place to be. Then you take that, and then if that is allowed to be maintained, you always know if you need it, it's there, right? Not saying you have to have it 24 hours a day, but you know it's going to be maintained, and it's there. It's like a service that's available to you. Then at the same point, too, once you have these two things connecting, then it's, of course, easy for those individuals that might have been limited because they didn't receive the caring, the nurturing, the love, and they know that it's solid, now I can aspire to do whatever I need to do and perhaps fill my natural role because I got backup. And if I ever need it, it's like break glass in case of emergency. I just hit it, take it off the shelf, and it's there. Now I can aspire to do my role, which allows other people to fulfill their role. Because now we're connecting as a unit, and everybody's playing their position like a great football, basketball team. You block for me, I'm going to bust that seam, we're going to score, and we're going to win. You set that pick for me, I roll off of it, you roll back down, I hit you for the game-winning shot. All together, chemistry and making greatness through teamwork.
There it is. There it is. Again, that how it works together. For one powerful one unit. It's amazing. Dee Maurice, the divine feminine energy nurtures, maintains, inspires. I already know your answer, man, but I'll throw it to you if true or false, sir.
Oh, that's definitely true. I thought about there are two things I saw on Maya Angelou recently. One, it was an interview she was given about Tupac Shakur. I guess they were on the same movie set, and how, you know, Tupac, you know, this tough kind of gangster, kind of facade, things of that sort. And she said when she saw him, he was like, you know, cussing and fussing and all that stuff. And her strength and her inspiration and nurturing, how she talks about that, just broke him down. She didn't buck up to him like a gangster and throw up gang signs and all this other stuff. Just her being a woman that inspires, that's nurturing, that giving that feminine energy, something he probably needed, didn't see, not used to, just broke him down. And there's a episode, I think, that Richard Pryor did with John Belushi, where he plays this drunk called Willie. It's a funny episode or a funny
show,
but it's so serious. And I hope people, I put it on my Facebook page, I hope people really catch the beauty of this particular scene where she sees, you know, we're laughing at the character Willie Richard Pryor is playing, and he's drunk, and he's, you know, and she kind of explains how he got like that and how the world has broken him down and how she still loves him, She doesn't love what he does, but she understands, she has that empathy to realize that you didn't get here, you know, on your own. There are some things on the outside in the environment that broke you down. I understand it. I could have left. I could have did this thing, but I love you. I love you, and I'm going to hold out until we figure this out. And there's strength in that. And she, you know, because he said something funny before he walks in the house. He's like, I know she's going to talk me to death. She's going to kill me, but then she's going to talk me back to life, and then she's going to kill me again. And so he's already used to, you know, the scenario was going to play out. But this dude goes home, and he knows that, hey, I'm going to be safe here. And regardless of, you know, how I come in, she's going to be there for me. And, you know, and she's trying to inspire him to kind of turn this around and not letting go. And remembering who she fell in love with and how she felt at that particular time. And this woman, you can tell in that scene, she's fighting her way to get back to that feeling so they can move on and be good for each other. And so the two, you know, scenarios with Maya Angelou where she didn't bulk up and she didn't kind of use masculine energy to kind of rectify the situation. She's being who she is as a woman, being feminine, being strong, and playing this role to say, hey, I'm going to try to turn the situation around, not by fighting you and doing all these other things that are out of my role. I'm going to play my role in hopes that one day you will see it and you will turn around and be the man that I know you could be.
Woo! That's some stuff right there, boss. That's some stuff right there, gentlemen. Moving to our questions for this episode. And last week we didn't give a chance to give Mr. DeMaurice his chance to put out a question, and I know he wanted to fire back. So, Mr. Reese, you're going to go first this time, man. You've probably been sitting on this all week. I know you. Going to bed at night, pondering, putting it together. What you got, boss? What you got?
Nah. People are going to have to look at, go listen to last week's show. I'm not going there. I'm still supposed to be. I'm on probation, folks. I'm on relationship probation is basically what they put me on. I got to, you know, think a certain way and you know, bring my thoughts into reality. But anyway, I want to stick on this topic. Have you ever been in a relationship with a woman who's feminine, and briefly describe what was that like?
If I think about each time I fell in love, if I think about each time, and it was around that right there, femininity. That's what it was, when they basically can nurture, maintain, inspire that gentleness, that gracefulness, all those qualities, that empathy, that, you know, that sensitivity, And what's amazing is when you're faced with that, you're going to do one of two things, I found. You're going to run, or you're going to embrace it. And if you embrace it more in life, you will embrace it. And when you embrace it, man, your heart, you're putty, boss. You become putty because you just want to be around that. And you know when it's there and you know when it's not there. And it's hard for me to believe that a real man comes across this and don't fall in love with it because you don't see it every day. You don't feel it every day. And I'm sure we have dated women that you know wasn't there from first hour of her talking. Ain't much of this here. You know, she's about herself. She's about this. She's self-centered. She's selfish. It's all about me. What can I gain out of this? But when you come across someone and they have these attributes and it lures you in. It kind of like basically takes you as a vacuum. It pulls you into her. So absolutely, man. I for me, it's the best thing. It's, you know, you want to be in love. It's the best thing that you work with. And that doesn't mean everything because of that femininity that's there is going to be perfect or has been perfect. But, yeah, for me, those times that it was there, wow. It's what's meant to be. It's what's meant to be. Your reaction, Mr. Charles?
No, I think that's spot on. When you had that, sometimes you don't even realize it, and sometimes you take it for granted. That was one of my experiences where this individual, she came with it so strong, and I was like, and she would do it, you know, she came across so strong with it that it caught me off guard. But it made me very comfortable, and it forced me to be honest in so many ways that I didn't want to, certain things I didn't want to admit. Because she recognized some things about me. And I was like, man, this is a safe place. But what I didn't realize is I think I kind of took her for granted because after a while, maybe she just got fed up with it and it wasn't so as common. And maybe that's because I wasn't providing her what she needed. And I was like, damn, where's that at again? It was like, you missed the ball, homeboy. You gave three chances. You should have got on it right then and there. And I didn't. And I was like, damn, what did I do? But I always thought about that and thought about the lesson. So, yeah, no, when you have that, it's amazing. It makes you feel alive, makes you feel safe. But it also, as you learn, and if you didn't learn, let me tell you, for all y'all sitting back getting that and understanding how great it is, don't take it for granted. Do your part so make sure that you continue to have that in your life.
Hey, man, I love personal humility, man, that you can just say, you know, you had it. At that particular time, you understand and you realize that it says a lot because a lot of times people, men and women to me, we realize stuff, but we fight not to be humble, man. We don't want to say it. We like want to keep it inside and act like it does you no good. You know, being humble, realizing, hey, this is what it was. I wasn't what I'm supposed to be. We grow from that. That's how we grow. Your response to your good question, Ms. DeMaris?
Yeah, I think that in the past I've sometimes saw it and felt it and then, you know, took it for granted that this is what it is and not really nurtured it the way I should have nurtured it. And there have been times where I saw it and experienced it but realized it was false gold just to kind of lure me into a certain spot because then you become vulnerable, then you get hurt by the situation. So I've seen it where I didn't really kind of treat it the way it's supposed to be treated, and then I saw how it was used to deceive in the relationship. And so I think there was one particular time where we were able to, and the person I was in a relationship with, we were able to bring out the best in each other. But I know this is probably a future topic of the show. It was just, the timing was just so off. The timing was just, you knew it was there. You knew it would be good. But the timing with where that person was going, where I was going, it just wasn't going to meet where we formed a common ground and grow the relationship. Even though we remained friends over the years, it just didn't kind of nurture itself into that beautiful space that I think we could have both been in. Because our masculine and feminine role were perfect, but location, time, space, all that stuff was off.
Your question, Mr. Charles?
Yeah, we might as well stay right here. This might be a little deep, might be too much, and I asked this question because something was presented to me, and I was like, I'm not answering that question, so I'm going to throw it at y'all. Anyway, so considering that where we're at right now, let's say, for instance, you met a person that had all of the traits that you were looking for and particularly had the strength and the essence of femininity and things seem right on point. My question to you is, where you at in your life and understanding? I'm not talking about marriage, so let's not do my reads. Don't run for the exit yet. Anyway, I'm not saying marriage. And I'm guilty too, bro. That's why I'm throwing that shade at you. But if you found that in today's life, and do you think you could move forward to either a commitment, companionship, or whatever with this person, and be vulnerable because of everything was in order?
Yeah, I'll say this, man. Yeah, absolutely, yes. I think what happens in that case, I think with most men, especially if you've dealt with some stuff and you haven't kind of been around it a lot, let's say recently, whatever the case may be, it may take you a little time to really fully grasp it, to really come to it. But yes, because at essence of who we are as men, that's what we want. You know, we can act like, nah, I'm good and all that. Mm-mm. You weren't made to be good. You were made to be better. And we, you know, reluctantly, if that may be the case, may be, we are going to do it. You know, we could speak of and say, and I know you talked about marriage, man. I was getting ready to hit the off button to stop the show. I'm just kidding. But at the end of the day, man, we were basically designed to be men, to lead, be the compass, and to have her with us and enjoy life that way. And so to think that we can try to be tough and act like no, nah, nah, nah. But when you have that in your presence and you have that with you, what else is there? You know, what else, you know, what are you going to do? Because the you know, the big butts and the smile, we know what they're about. Ain't feminine. What, you waiting around for the next big butt? Are you waiting around for the smile? But, you know, really, at the end of the day, we know that. We know those games. So when you have that, it's like basically walking into a Marshall's. You know, you know, I'm just going to do some shopping. You know exactly what you're looking for. But you walk into Marshall's and there's a diamond in front of you. It cut perfectly. Cut the way you need it, the way you like it. You tell me, you're going to pick up that diamond and make it yours? Or are you going to walk over to the sneaker section? So, yeah, man, as much as men may say that and act like that, you know, I hope you don't mind me saying this, Mr. DeMaurice, is, you know, I tease your pops, man. Your pops just turned 80, and I tease your pops about, you know, a few years ago, your pops got married, but why do you think your pops got married in his 70s? Because he believed at the time he found that he needed that in his life. And I don't mean I don't stop teasing him, but I understood it. And that's what it comes down to, bro. So if he's in his 70s and he's you know, still loyal to that, hell, you know, we're younger than him. We ain't done. Your response, Mr. DeMaurice.
Yeah, I almost forgot the question.
You don't want to answer the question.
I'd be open to it, but very cautiously. Very cautiously, and I would have to see some consistency, and I would have to bring the consistency. I would be open to it, but you know, being very cautious in the situation to make sure that the person is not using what they got to get what they want, kind of scenario, like the immortal James Brown. So. I would walk into it very cautiously and watchful of what's going on and what she's doing and if this is really who she is.
your response, Mr. Chance?
Praise the Lord. We got the security guard to come off his post. Anyway, okay, because, you know, they stay right on their post. They go, I can't leave. I can stay right in this spot. I can't walk. Something might happen. Got to protect. Can't move. I got to stay on my post.
Sharp eye watching it. Steady on the case.
Look, not on my watch. I don't know what happened after I left, but not on my watch. But to answer the question, that was Johnny. That wasn't me. That was Johnny. Johnny got here at 11:02. I left right at 11.
Oh, my goodness.
Right on my watch. Anyway, but to answer the question, yes, I would. I'm like Demon Roots. I probably would be very cautious because it's a matter of trust, man. And I had to explain this to somebody prior. It's about trust. So it takes a lot because you have to trust somebody and be vulnerable when you've been used to doing everything yourself and that's worked well. And you're like, well, damn, if I let her do this, I become vulnerable. She might mess this damn thing up. Then I got to start all over again. I built something now. I don't know who I am. I know what I'm going to do. I know the risk. I know everything involved. I ain't got to worry about nothing because I'm not going to mess it up. But if I open the door, she might mess it up. All right, Eve. Anyway, I'm going to get off of that. There you go, man.
Mr. Charles, we got a couple of minutes. I'm going to come back to you. Take 30 seconds to a minute with this, man. If I said to you, you're given a chance to see her dressed in something, and I think we take this for granted, but I think it's important. If she had a chance to wear something that you want to see her in, would it be a dress or a pair of pants?
Well, please, you already know my answer. I've been doing this since second grade. A dress, heels, stockings, whatever, the whole nine, all the accessories, and very limited makeup, and then watch her sashay across the door, the floor, and what have you, and then come directly to me, plant a kiss. You can leave right now, baby.
Mr. DeMaurice, you know it. Come on, a dress or a pair of pants, man. Which one you gonna want? Which one?
I'm gonna say a sundress, man. Sundress.
Ooh,
yeah. Got to be a sundress, flowing, and yeah, pants. No, that's my role. That's what I wear. But no, a dress, bro. Got to be.
It's amazing. You could put me down for dress as well. It's amazing the what a dress can do. I mean, it's amazing how. And I'm not knocking women that wear pants, and I'm not saying women that wear pants are masculine, whatever the case may be. But there's something so nice about a dress, even a skirt. There's something about it to where it brings you right to that feminine part. It just brings you right at the doorstep, right there, and you can't get any better. Like when Sean spoke about the heels, because all of that, you put all that together, oh, my goodness, man. Oh, my goodness, this is to where it's like, it's not even a question. It really isn't. And don't get me wrong, pants are great, too, but when a woman presents herself in a sophisticated way, that's a word you don't hear often anymore either, sophisticated. When she presents herself that way in a sophisticated way, wearing a dress, oh, my goodness. Putty, silly putty, you know, put me on the paper and have me pull off whatever's on the paper because that's what it's going to come down to. I want to thank you two gentlemen for doing what you always do, bringing it strong, bringing it hard, and delivering what needs to be delivered. We'll get together next week and do it all over again. In the meantime, you all stay safe, stay black. Good luck with your brackets, Mr. DeMaurice. I know you're going to need it, man, and you'll be all right. You may not win.
As Pop would say, keep on talking. Keep on talking.
Wow.